Supporters of California's ambitious high-speed rail project are making a lot of big promises about what the line can achieve. Everything from less greenhouse gas emissions to fewer cars on the road. One of the most far-reaching claims is the potential to revolutionize towns where the stations will be, like Fresno and Merced. As part of a two-part series on the train and long-haul commuters, Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess examines if the Central Valley will one day be the bedroom community for Silicon Valley.
The list of potential benefits from completing the high-speed rail project that advocates roll out is almost as long as the rail itself. High on that list is turning the Central Valley into the new home for thousands of workers who've been displaced by sky-high housing prices in the Bay Area.
We're going to be able to shrink the globe quite literally by linking Fresno and San Jose.
Carl Gardino is the CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group. That's a collection of tech companies that advocate on issues such as transportation, and in this case are strongly in favor of the bullet train. In his view, the train is going to provide relief for a Bay Area housing market that has spiraled out of control and help thousands of middle-income workers find a home in the Central Valley.
Try to be a teacher or a police officer or a firefighter or somebody who works in retail or a restaurant. It is nigh impossible to live anywhere near the jobs that we're producing in abundance here.
The median home price in San Jose, according to industry research, is four times that of the rest of the country, reaching nearly $900,000. Prices have doubled since 2000, making the region one of the most expensive places to live in the country. As Silicon Valley took off, many middle-class workers fled to the North Valley, transforming once tiny farming communities like Los Banos into sprawling bedroom communities with more affordable housing. The median home price there is less than $250,000. The result is thousands of people are now commuting very long distances to find work, sometimes 2 hours or more. Gardino sees them trading in their daily car commute for a predictable 1 hour on the train in exchange for cheaper housing in the Central Valley. University of the Pacific researcher Jeffrey Michael says more than half of all the workers in Los Banos commute, and of that, about 40% are commuting over the hill into the bay, a commute that for most takes more than 90 minutes each way. However, Michael is highly skeptical of Gardino's prediction that thousands will be making the commute every day from one valley to the other and back on the high-speed rail.
You know, unless there was a huge revolution in their plan for financing it. I don't see the ability to subsidize it enough to really make it cost-effective for daily commuting use.
Riding the rail won't be cheap. Doing rough math based on fare tables released by the High Speed Rail Authority, it could cost north of $2,000 a month to commute on the train each way 5 days a week. Gardino counters that package rates would likely bring that cost down. Also, that simply looking at dollar figures ignores the lost hours, wear and tear on cars, and non-economic costs like missing family time that mega commuters are currently paying. However, not even all high-speed rail supporters agree with Gardino, including Fresno Mayor Ashley Swearingen. She thinks companies will move operations to Fresno, so CEOs can easily pop in and out, or have workers commute less frequently, rather than a large influx and outflow of daily commuters.
I think that's unrealistic. I don't think we're looking at, you know, I live in Fresno, but I go to work every day in the Silicon Valley. I think we actually see jobs imported from the Silicon Valley to Fresno.
The High Speed Rail Authority seems to be somewhere in between Mayor Swearingen and Mr. Gardino. Authority Vice Chair Tom Richards is somewhat skeptical of the scale of the commuters, but acknowledges many people are already making long commutes in search of lower home prices, and that some may be willing to call Fresno or Merced home.
Well, there's certainly some body of information that would suggest that the housing markets in the Central Valley will provide some relief for the difficulty in terms of affordability of buying houses up in the Silicon Valley and the Bay Area.
There's a big financial reason why people could consider the high-speed rail to be a better option than the drive. The rent tracking website rentjungle.com says the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in San Jose is just shy of $2,800 a month. In Fresno, it's $850. That's sure to climb if Fresno becomes a hot destination, but would still be far cheaper than Silicon Valley. The bottom line is housing stock just hasn't been able to keep up, leading to an effect like squeezing a balloon. The air has to go somewhere. That somewhere was into towns in the North Central Valley that have boomed in population and have also transformed communities and created the new class of super commuters. We'll meet one and learn what it's like to go on a mega commute and what it means for those communities next week. For Valley Public Radio News, I'm Jeffrey Hess.
And Jeffrey joins us now in our studio to talk a little more about this issue. Jeffrey, we already have people making these commutes. You mentioned in the North Central Valley, Los Banos, Tracy, even Modesto have a lot of people who are making these drives. Who are these people?
Well, it's really remarkable. When I approached this, I thought it was going to be mostly high-value tech workers, people who are making a lot of money. But what it turns out the research shows is that it's really a lot of middle-class people who have just been really forced out by the just insane rates of housing that are growing in San Jose and Silicon Valley in that area. So it's people who are office workers, it's government functionaries, it's cops, it's firefighters, it's school teachers. It's people who are required to make the function of any big city like that area is work. And they're making an economic decision, one that they've decided it makes more sense for me to commute 90 minutes, 2 hours each way, which you're now working 12-hour days, if you work an 8-hour shift, than it is to try and afford the mortgage on a home in the Bay Area.
So what are these commutes like? Not to steal the thunder of your next piece where you're actually going to take us on one of these, but
yeah.
But these are not just easy drives.
No, this is not an easy drive at all. And I went on a ride with one person who was very helpful to me, but I interviewed 6 or 8 other people who make this drive, and they listed so many things. One guy was 35 years old, already had back and hip problems from working the mechanics of the car, had ruined his hip. Every day I'm part of a Facebook group for these commuters. Every day they're always posting. There's usually a wreck. It's very windy over the pass, so that's the dangerous part. People really like to move. They get late to work, and so they have to scoot, and their people are just flying. I mean, we were going the speed limit and just getting passed a lot. A lot of it's two-lane roads, winding roads. Something I don't know if we'll be able to get into, but a woman I talked to said, you know, I really want you to think about what she called the 152 widows, which are the wives and families of typically men who have been killed while they're trying to make that pass. The guy I rode with actually wouldn't even say the word accident while we were doing it, and he alluded to what I assume he's probably seen fatal wrecks. And so there's a lot of dollars and cents gets talked about when the high-speed rail gets rolled out there. They talk about how much it's going to cost. Will people ride it? What are they going to do when they get to the Bay Area without a car? But there's also a whole lot of non-economic costs, lost family times. I talked with one teacher in Los Banos who said one day she looked down at her phone and realized all of her emergency contacts were 408 numbers for the Bay Area as opposed to their area code there. So it's really quite a fascinating mixture of what's going on with the people who are making that commute and how they might not necessarily see themselves as positioned to be the prime high-speed rail rider.
I want to expand the conversation now with two guests who join us in our studio today. Elizabeth Johnson is with the California High-Speed Rail Authority, and also Leanne Eager, who is president and CEO of the Fresno County Economic Development Corporation. Elizabeth, I want to start with you. Has high-speed rail been envisioned as, we're talking about commuters today, has it really been envisioned as a commuter service? So much of what we're talking about is going LA to San Francisco or Fresno to LA. Sounds like more of a long-haul thing. Is the commuter idea an important part of the high-speed rail business plan?
So it's really important to look at this a little holistically in terms of high-speed rail. There is a sweet spot that high-speed rail research shows where high-speed rail fits in as to being the most efficient mode of transportation. So between zero or 1 miles and 200 miles, the trip, most people will choose to take their automobile. And after 500 miles, they would choose to fly. So between that 200 and 500 miles is really where high-speed rail has found their sweet spot. So for the most part, that rules out commuters. However, there will certainly be people that would choose, because of the efficiency and because of all those other factors, health and time and other considerations, to use high-speed rail.
So when we're talking about high-speed rail fares, obviously it's a long time before someone can actually purchase a ticket. So these are just estimates at this point. But are we talking about fares that are competitive with a subway ticket or an airplane ticket or somewhere in between? What are we looking at there?
So for our business plan, we basically based it off automobile and plane tickets. So, for example, looking at our business plan, if we were to go from Fresno to, say, Orange County, we're looking at about, from Fresno to Orange County, $89, but maybe from San Jose to Kings Tulare, $68 a ticket. So it is, of course, for one person, probably a little more than taking your car. However, there are those other considerations.
Jeffrey, it's not cheap. These people who are doing this drive already from either Los Banos or Tracy or Modesto, there's a significant expense associated with that, not just in gas.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's wear and tear on your car. The guy I went with, who I keep referencing, he got one of his Toyota Corollas got up to 800,000 miles, which I can't even wrap my mind around. He had since replaced it 2 years ago, and that has 250,000 miles on it. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around that. And one of the things you have to think about when you're making this commute is the time you're just in your car is lost productivity time. You could be making more money if you didn't have to commute so far. I keep coming back to the family issue. We left at 5:30 in the morning and didn't get back till almost 6 o'clock. I mean, that's before your kids get up. That's after they get home from school. And maybe you have an hour and a half with your family that you lost by having to make that commute.
So maybe the biggest backer out there right now who's talking about this as a real important issue is Carl Gardino, who is in your piece. You talked to
him. Very persuasive.
He's head of the Silicon Valley Working Group, a coalition of all these big companies, Adobe, Apple, you name it. They're represented by Carl. And he's saying this is really an option. Does he realistically think that that an Apple employee or a Google employee, a high-value worker, is going to be this sort of commuter, or is he also seeing this as part of that bigger picture?
I think he's seeing it as part of a bigger picture. For him, the high-value Apple workers can afford the rates that are going on in the Bay. And I think for Carl, his point of view is that these people who have just moved just a little bit over the hill into Los Banos, where there's all these unpredictable factors to your commute, they might be the ones who want to trade it in for a very predictable train ticket. So I think he's obviously very much in favor of this, and he's making a persuasive case that this is something that a lot of people are going to want to do. But from talking with him, it seems like he's aware that there are still going to be people who, despite all the incentives that might push them towards commuting by rail, are still going to want to keep their car. I mean, people still really like to drive. You have control. If you have to leave from work to do anything, you know exactly when and where you can go. When you're in the Bay, you're not stuck at the mercy of the train schedule. So I think he is aware that there are going to be people who are still going to decide that it's better to drive 2 hours from Los Banos than it would be to ride the train 45 minutes or an hour from Fresno or Merced.
This maybe is a question that's better posed to Carl and not you, but is there any discussion or inkling of a thought that maybe companies might try to incentivize this as a way to keep their employees happier, healthier, and in some way, you know, not stuck behind the wheel, white-knuckled on the steering wheel as they're going through Pacheco Pass.
Yeah, stressed out on the way home,
yeah,
to and from.
Is that something maybe, Elizabeth, that the High Speed Rail Authority would be interested in working with those companies in some way?
Absolutely, and those are considerations that have definitely been thought of. So this system will be privately operated. So it'll be, in the end, the private operator that finally determines the different fares and the different incentive packages. But I think that employer discounts or, you know, being able to have a pass or all those things will be part of the mixture somehow, because there is that demand and there are those quality of life issues that that have come up and will continue to be part of the discussion.
Well, and it could be an interesting situation. I've been thinking about this quite a bit with these long commutes, where companies start rolling your commute price into like a benefits package, which is, we acknowledge that for you to do your job, it's now taking you an hour commute, a 2 hour commute. We're going to start compensating you in some way. And one way to do that could be by paying the rail fare or paying a portion of the rail fare.
Leanne Eager, who is also with us today, has really been busy on a lot of economic development things related to the heavy maintenance facility. Leanne, is this issue, though, the commuter angle, trying to make Fresno County a destination for people who rely on the high-speed rail as transportation to work, is that something that's been on your radar and the county's radar?
Absolutely. And we've been working on this, just so you know, about 7 years preparing for this, and not just about the maintenance facility, but about the project in general and what that will mean for Fresno County. What we're looking at is the connectivity between Fresno and now the Bay Area, and certainly later on Los Angeles area, that's going to change the economy of Fresno County forever. I was just in San Francisco, I think about 3 weeks ago, and I was talking to the Bay Area Council and the Silicon Valley Group about what does that mean. And they're looking at there in the Bay Area putting out this event that's going to be a super region, right? Because it used to be, you know, if you live in San Francisco, all the companies work together to see how they can make that better. And as that grows and grows and grows, because they've outgrown the Bay Area, they've outgrown Silicon Valley, how do they bring in other regions? Well, we went and talked about Fresno County and the Fresno region should be part of that super region, especially now with high-speed rail. And it's not just, and I think you're right, it's not just about commuting from here to there, because with the tech industry now, it doesn't make any difference where you're sitting, right? You can still be part of that community there, but sit here in Fresno County. And if we're looking at building up our tech industry here and connecting those to what's going on in the Bay Area, this is the perfect place to do that. And then if you do need to go to a meeting, you know, once a week or once a month, you can get on that train and get there in an hour and come back and do your work here. And I agree with the mayor in that we're not just looking at how do we have people live here and commute there because this is a less expensive place to live. We're really pitching that if you want to expand your company and you cannot expand in the Bay Area, you've run out of room, you've run out of money, that those expansions should happen here. And that connectivity with high-speed rail will make that much easier.
Do you have any estimate on what potential boon to the economy high-speed rail could be if it works as envisioned? Again, we're sidestepping all the other debates and controversies.
Sure.
and timelines and potential delays or actual delays, but let's just step that aside. What type of potential economic benefit are we looking at?
Well, we're talking billions. You know, right now, just, you know, this system has just started, right? And we're putting people to work here right now, and not just working on the system, but all the ancillary jobs that come with that. You know, there's already $3 billion worth of money coming in to our community right now. Once we start looking outside of building the system, once we start looking at outside of bringing new companies here that want to be around the first high-speed rail in the United States, I think it's endless. I just got back from Germany 10 days ago, and I was at the Hannover Messe Manufacturing Trade Show, largest trade show in the world. Right? This was the first year the United States was the partnering country. So the President of the United States was there. Angela Merkel was there. I had so many people from around the world come and talk to me at my booth about high-speed rail and what are some of the opportunities that they have if they move their company here. So I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg here. We've been preparing for this for a long time. We're ready for those companies that want to come here, that want to work in the city that has the first high-speed rail in the United States, and we're getting ready for it.
Do you think the shift to the northern route first is good for Fresno County?
Well, I hate to leave Los Angeles out, because certainly the folks in Palmdale and the folks in Burbank and the folks in Los Angeles, we've been working with them for a long time on how we can continue that. But I think this initial section, first of all, so that we can get people on those trains, because I think that's going to be the most important thing right now, is what's the fastest way to get people on those trains. But we really have been working with the folks in the Bay Area for a long time about how do we make that connection. I had talked to a CEO of a biotech company in Marin County about 6 years ago. And he said, you know, I'm running out of space here, but I don't manufacture here. And I was like, oh, where do you manufacture your product? And he said, in the Midwest. And I said, why aren't you manufacturing in the Central Valley? I know it's too expensive to manufacture in Marin County, but why aren't you manufacturing in the Central Valley? And he said, it's easier for me to get from San Francisco to the Midwest than it is to get from San Francisco to Fresno. I got to get in my car and drive there. So I said, if high-speed rail comes and connects us, will that change that? And he said, it's a whole new ball game. If I can get to you in an hour, that's a whole new ball game. So we're looking at that too. How do we get those manufacturers here first? It might not be the R&D right away, and we're certainly working on that for the future with UC Merced and Fresno State on how do we get that workforce ready for that. But if we can get that manufacturing here first, game changer.
Elizabeth, one of the things that changed in the most recent business plan, one of the maybe the quietest changes that I think is significant, we've talked about Merced and Fresno today, but the city of Madera is also now on the map in a different way, and that it's going to get a stop on the line. Tell me more about that, and is that a permanent stop, or is that just a temporary way to connect with the Amtrak San Joaquin? How does that work, and how do you manage to still be high speed when you're stopping Fresno, Madera, Merced? Those are all pretty close when you're going fast.
So not every train is intended to stop at every station. To answer your first question, yes, that stop in Madera is intended to be a permanent stop to connect specifically with some of the other passenger rail service, Amtrak, specifically, and be able to reach more people in more places. So essentially, someone will be able to get on a train in Sacramento, stop in Madera, connect to high-speed rail, or from LA, connect Madera, and maybe get to another place not serviced by high-speed rail. So it's intended to be a really logical connection to other destinations and other places not being served by high-speed rail. So it is very, very, I would say, exciting for the Valley to have a stop in Madera because, one, Madera is excited about this. And two, just have the ability to have another place in the Valley where there's going to be that investment and that opportunity for more people to be able to connect to the system and be able to take advantage of the ability to be more connected and go to other places. So now essentially we'll have a station in Merced, we'll have a station in Kings County, we'll have a station in Fresno County and Kern County.
Leanne, we just have about 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to add, it really is exciting for the city of Madera. And what this does for them, that gives them an opportunity. If people are getting off there, how can they get to downtown? What kinds of things can Madera do now to really capitalize on this opportunity they were given?
Leanne Eager is the president and CEO of the Fresno County Economic Development Corporation. Also with us today, Elizabeth Johnson, the public information officer for California High Speed Rail Authority, and Valley Public Radio's own Jeffrey Hess.